What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey holding it down for us on the boards in New York City. This is like halftime of the show. 2 hours down, two more to go. The show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've had a busy show so far. More players in the NFL are coming to agreements on contracts. Jordan Poirier is moving from the Buffalo Bills. He's now signing a one-year contract with the Dolphins. Danielle Hunter, no longer a member of the Minnesota Vikings. He is going to Texas to play for the Texans. And then we all know about some of the other moves that have taken place over the past 24 to 48 hours. Early this morning, late last night, we found out that Sam Darnold is going to be leading the way for the Minnesota Vikings. Terrible. Awful. Jameis Winston is now going to be a backup for Deshaun Watson out in Cleveland. And then also, this afternoon, there's a lot of alsos. Derrick Henry. He's the new starting running back for the Baltimore Ravens. A matter of fact, in about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with Jonas Schaefer. He's coming through to join us from the Baltimore Banner. We'll get his perspective on what Derrick Henry can and will and will hopefully mean for the Baltimore Ravens. If you've missed a minute of the show, you can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We've already had on an amazing guest, a former Pro Bowler, All-Pro fullback Lorenzo Neal joined us earlier on in the show. This man played 16 years in the NFL, helping to protect dudes like Corey Dillon and Warrick Dunn, and then LaDainian Tomlinson. Not shabby company. It's like everybody that he helped block for ended up rushing for 1,000 yards. And so Lorenzo Neal came through and gave us some excellent, excellent perspective on the current running backs, all the movement that we've had, Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Aaron Jones signing, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings, Josh Jacobs replacing Jones and going to the Packers, just so much. Saquon to the Giants, obviously. But we know the quarterbacks is where it's at. And one of the other questions that I asked Lorenzo Neal when he joined us is about the two big-time quarterbacks that have moved. That's Russell Wilson. On Sunday night, we learned that he is going to be joining the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers don't have to pay him but a mil and change. Denver Broncos are picking up like the other 39 mil. And then we have Kirk Cousins, who came to an agreement with the Atlanta Falcons, 4 years, $180 million. This is the same Kirk Cousins who blew out his Achilles to end last season. He was one of the NFL's best quarterbacks. He is 36 years old, going to be 36. This is tough going. These quarterbacks, you could say, are seasoned. They're veterans. I mean, in the case of Russell Wilson, we're talking Super Bowl appearances. Only one Super Bowl. I think we know why the other one didn't take place. You can blame him or Pete Carroll. Take your pick. Anyway, Russell Wilson went on his little tour last week, stopped by the New York Giants, went out to Pittsburgh and stayed. I thought Russell Wilson showing up to the New York Giants facility to sit down with them was nothing more than a little bit of leverage. Just to show face and say, yeah, you're not the only game in town. But ultimately, he stayed in Pittsburgh. And this is where he's going to apply his trade next season for 1 year at minimum. Jordan Schultz on Fox Sports, he said that Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin, they got together, had their meeting, and I guess, as of right now, they're best football buddies.
He was in the room with Mike Tomlin for a couple hours, and they hit it off in a way that was described to me as perfection. When you put Russell Wilson in a room, Acho, as you know, he excels. Mike Tomlin's the same type of guy. They related in a human on a human level, much way beyond football. And as a result of that, that created this level of like comfort that they felt like we can take this to a really successful place. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have not had good quarterback play since Ben Roethlisberger. So it was a really low-risk move by Pittsburgh to bring in a guy like Russ, and they felt like him and Tomlin, that they could really vibe. Again, they spent a couple hours together, and I was told it was a perfect relationship, almost made in heaven.
Wow. Hickey, I didn't know Russell Wilson could relate to anybody on a human level besides his wife.
How about that?
Yeah, he comes across to me as a phony. Hey, how about this? More movement. C.J. Gardner-Johnson last played for the Lions and started with the Eagles. He's going back to the Eagles, a 3-year contract worth up to $33 million. So I know the Eagles have been looking for a little bit of help when it comes down to the defensive backs. Well, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is going to be back, no longer a member of the Lions. But back to this Russell Wilson, man. He's going to be joining a Steelers team that just traded away Deontay Johnson. The defense is rather strong. Najee Harris is still there. Pickens is still there. George Pickens will be complaining about the ball pretty much in no time. But this is a Steelers team that to this day, Deontay Wilder, to this day, they still haven't had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. And I know we joked about it last week, Hickey, and said, man, wouldn't that be some you-know-what? If for all the years that Mike Tomlin has had this job and has always been at least on the positive side or not below 500, that they bring on Russell Wilson and that they hit the toilet. Well, someone who doesn't believe that is Lorenzo Neal. I told you we spoke to Lorenzo earlier on in the show, and he says Russell Wilson, he's going to have a bigger impact than Kirk Cousins. Listen to this.
Team that's ready to win now, and I think they go deep into the playoffs. And I think right now, what Russell Wilson wants to accomplish and the way that he played in Denver, that bounce back year last year, and still didn't have necessarily all the weapons, didn't have a great offensive line, didn't have necessarily the greatest receivers. I think Russell Wilson, when you think about where he's going, to a Steeler team that plays great defense, he's going to a team that he's not going to have to carry it. He's not going to necessarily have to go and carry this team. I think this team, in some essence, kind of remind you of that Legion of Boom. I'm not saying they're better, but you think about the Steelers and think about Seattle in their heyday. They were dependent on that defense. The Steelers is that type of team that can play great defense, and now you have a quarterback that is a game changer, and a quarterback can get the ball and distribute it to the right guys and also can escape and make plays with his legs. I think that Russell Wilson is going to have the biggest impact out of those two guys.
Okay. Reasonable. I mean, the defense for the Steelers is pretty damn good. You know, earlier we talked in the show about Patrick Queen joining the squad. Joining the linebackers, also at the same time making the Ravens' defense weaker. Cameron Hayward is still there. I feel like he's getting older, but he's still there. T.J. Watt every year is in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. You could argue that he should have just won the award over Myles Garrett. Alex Highsmith is someone who continues to deliver. I still can't believe they got this dude out of Charlotte. If I continue moving on and the defensive backs, you got Minka Fitzpatrick. Joey Porter Jr., still young, room to grow. I'm surprised Joey Porter Jr. can go outside and buy a drink. Like, yeah, if you want to think about the defense of the Steelers, it's going to carry them. But am I expecting Russell Wilson to just have flashbacks? Like, this is the Legion of Boom? 25 touchdowns, I think, will do the trick, and I think it'll put the Steelers back into contention in the AFC North. I think it'll get them back into the playoffs so people might actually just look at him and take him serious. And he will have an impact because they can't get any worse than what they did last year because Kenny Pickett is pedestrian at best and at worst. But then if I have to take a look at the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris, their new head coach, he basically said, he admitted, if this team had a better quarterback last year, then I probably wouldn't be here. Arthur Smith would have still had the job. And this Atlanta Falcons team would have been in the postseason. But every year under Arthur Smith, they're 7-10, 7-10, and 7-10. And now, by the way, Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator for the Steelers. The Falcons, they seemingly have everything that they would need to go to the postseason. And Kirk Cousins, despite his age, despite his own injury, if he is healthy, and I could say that about anybody, he is still one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Is he running around? Is he scrambling like Russell Wilson? No, but I think that's to his benefit. He's going to have a Kyle Pitts down the field or up the middle, depending on where they put this basketball player. They're going to have Drake London. They do need to get another wide receiver. They have two running backs, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier. Kirk Cousins going to have a bigger impact than Russell Wilson? At this stage, it's almost like plug and play. I really think it's like plug and play for both of these individuals. But here's the deal. Kirk Cousins, he has a long-term contract. Russell Wilson he's only scheduled, or he's only signed, or will be signed, to be with the Steelers for 1 year. Kirk Cousins can fail this year. And unless there's some catastrophic injury, he'll be back the year after that. If Russell Wilson stinks, well, let's just put the nail in the coffin for his career. And so who has more to prove? Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, it's Russell Wilson. Who's going to have a larger impact? That's a tight race. Now, I'm leaning towards saying Kirk Cousins, because I think all things considered, especially in the division that they play in, Kirk Cousins should be able to have a little bit more of a field day in the NFC South than Russell Wilson is going to have in the AFC North. We know how competitive it is. Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals. Sounds like a dogfight. No reference to the Browns. The NFC South, it sounds like a pillow fight. Plenty of disrespect to the Panthers. Sorry. I know you just added Deontay Johnson. Congratulations. The Saints don't scare me. The Buccaneers? That's your best competition? I think Kirk Cousins will have a larger impact. Because the Steelers are in a wait and see. And they hope Russell Wilson can contribute. And I think he will. But I think Kirk Cousins is going to have more of an impact. Be more of a difference maker. In most part because of the division. Steelers may not even make the postseason, even if Russell Wilson has a good year. Hickey, what say you, man?
In terms of those two, I'm with you on Kirk Cousins. I think he's gotten the bigger impact. I think right now he's the better quarterback and is in a better situation. Like, the weapons around Kirk with a better offensive line, you got the three-headed monster, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. I think he's set up just for a position of more success versus now we just saw, you know, what, an hour ago, if that, Dante Johnson now traded by the Steelers. So now it's George Pickens and who? I don't really know who else he's going to throw the ball to. They have a good run game, but still questions. Tougher division, tougher conference. Yeah, I'm going to disagree with Lorenzo. I think in terms of these two, who's got the bigger impact and more success, I'm going to go with Kirk in Atlanta.
Yeah, look, and maybe that's what everybody wants with the Steelers. Maybe they want to limit the amount of passes that Russell Wilson is going to throw. I just know that Kirk Cousins, he's going to have more of a green light. He's going to have full reign to do what he wants to do. And Falcons fans are going to see something that they haven't seen since Matt Ryan left. That's actually a quarterback delivering the ball down the field to the wide receivers and doing it accurately. Is Kirk Cousins going to go ahead and win you the big one? I don't think so. But that's one thing that you won't have to worry about, is actually moving the chains. And I know Falcons fans, they want a quarterback who can run. They want a new age quarterback. It's not what they have. They may have to wait another 3 or 4 years for that, or maybe sooner. But Kirk Cousins, for right now, I think he's definitely going to have the bigger impact. This is the JR Sport Brief Show with you on CBS Sports Radio. I need to let you know, well, I don't know why Denver doesn't add this dude as their quarterback. The Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are their mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Nikola Jokic, this man, he bounced back, helping Denver bounce back from a 21-point second-half deficit to beat the Raptors 125-119. Jokic, 35 points, 17 rebounds, 12 assists. That triple-double is 21st of the season. I heard he's about 7 feet tall, and he could throw a hell of a pass. Maybe the Broncos need to invest in him and do something else with the 12th overall pick. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. On the other side, it's time to have a conversation with Jonas Schaefer. We're going to talk all things Ravens, all things AFC North, and Jonas is joining us from the Baltimore Banner. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We talked about this news to open up the show. Derrick Henry, the newest member of the Baltimore Ravens, joining the organization as their starting running back. Deals get signed officially tomorrow. The Baltimore Ravens trying to get over that hump, typically the Kansas City Chiefs, and go to that Super Bowl. There's nothing else for them to do. To talk about the Ravens, the addition of Derrick Henry, and more, right now we're being joined by Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, thank you for taking the time to hop on.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
No doubt about it. We know that Derrick Henry, future Hall of Fame running back, doesn't matter how much gas he has left in the tank, unless he is completely done, he's an added bonus to this team. What are your thoughts on the addition of Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, if they get the 2023 version of Derrick Henry, it's extremely exciting prospect. This is, you know, a nightmare fuel background with nightmare fuel backfield, excuse me, with Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's really just putting defenses in a bind, because if you load the box, then Lamar will have one-on-ones downfield with, you know, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers. If you don't load the box, then you're talking about six or seven defenders having to cover Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. and maybe Keaton Mitchell is there in the backfield with them. So it's a really, really tantalizing prospect for what the Ravens could be. I think Lamar has played with running backs like Derrick Henry before. You know, Gus Edwards at his peak, has been the kind of smash mouth, run you over running back that I think a lot of teams need and would like to have. But I don't think Derrick Henry has ever played with a quarterback like Lamar before. And I think that's what's most exciting about this is, you know, how does having someone with Lamar's gravitational pull open up, you know, avenues for Derrick Henry that he's never had? How does it open, you know, unlock levels and layers of his game that he's never unlocked before? And, you know, you hope that Derrick Henry's healthy for all 16, 17 games next year, because, you know, with a potentially reduced workload, you know, with eyes on keeping him fresh for the playoffs, it could be a really, really thrilling season with incredible productivity.
Definitely beneficial for everybody involved. Jonas Schaefer is here with us from the Baltimore Banner. You talked about the weapons at Lamar Jackson's disposal. You know, Mark Andrews coming off of his injury, time off, should do him well. Zay Flowers, an additional a year in the league. What can we expect? We know things didn't end all that well for Lamar Jackson at the end of the year in the AFC Championship game. When it's time to air the ball out, who is his most reliable option, not named Mark Andrews in the middle?
I think it's probably Zay Flowers. He got open a lot as a rookie. He was, I think, like the guy in terms of just how often Lamar looked for him on that first read. I think Rashad Bateman on another team with another quarterback, maybe another play caller, probably fares better than the, you know, few hundred yards that he did. You know, I did a film study a couple weeks ago, a month ago or so, and he got open a lot. He just either did not get the ball thrown to him, or when he did get the ball thrown to him, it was not all that accurate. Just to kind of one of those seasons. So you're talking about, I don't know if the Ravens are heading back toward maybe more 12 personnel where you want to get Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and Bateman and Flowers all in the field together with Derrick Henry. Or maybe you kind of do what you did last year and use a lot more 11 personnel, so you do have those lighter boxes to run into. But the Ravens have versatility. They have, you know, optionality. And I think that's probably what's most exciting for Todd Monken, is that from week to week, drive to drive, this offense could do, you know, just about whatever he needed to be in a position to succeed.
Well, Jonas, we know about the offense, and you take a look at the defense. They've invested money into acquiring Roquan Smith. They just gave Matabike an extension, and now we see that Queen is going to the enemy. He's going to be playing for the Steelers. What does this mean for this defense for the Ravens, which has typically been in the top five the past several years?
Yeah, it's a substantial loss. You know, if Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy don't come back, you're talking about potentially losing, you know, as much as like 40-45% of last year's defensive snaps, because Geno Stone is gone, you know, Ronald Darby is gone. There are a lot of, you know, bit players who they've really relied upon who are gone. Obviously, you know, you hope that someone like Marcus Williams can finally stay healthy, and that Marlon Humphrey can get back to his all-pro form, because if those guys do, you're talking about like another two potential Pro Bowl or all-pro level performers on this defense. And, you know, we know that the spine of this group should be really, really good with Matabike, with Roquan, with Kyle Hamilton, you know, probably leveling up even further in year three, but they're going to need some pass rush production. We don't know exactly where that's coming from for sure. We don't know how reliable that cornerback depth is besides Merle Humphrey and Brandon Stevens. And we also don't know, you know, just how good a job Zach Orr is going to do in replacing Mike McDonald. You know, Mike McDonald, probably one of the best defense coordinators in the NFL over these past 2 years. And Zach Orr is a guy who has never called plays before at any level. So there is going to be that learning curve. There are probably going to be some bumps and bruises along the way. So it's natural to expect regression from this group. You know, once you're one of the NFL's best defenses in recent memory, I think probably the only way to go is down. But there's still a lot of ways that this defense wasn't totally optimized last year that maybe with better luck, some natural positive regression, they can do things a little bit differently and perhaps more effectively.
Jonas Schaefer is here with us from the Baltimore Banner. It's the JR Sport Re-Show on CBS Sports Radio. We know that they're not going to have the benefit of selecting high in the draft. That's what happens when you're a good team. Where do you think that they're going to target when they come to the end of that first round in that 30 spot?
You know, it's cliche to whenever you mention the Ravens in the draft, just say best player available. But I'm going to go with best player available. And I think that that works in their favor because, you know, you hear all these draft experts talk about what are the strengths of this particular draft class. And it's the wide receiver position and it's the offensive line group. And the Ravens, you know, are probably going to lose their two starting guards from what was a very good offensive line last year. And they might lose, if they don't lose them in free agency as salary cap casualties, you know, they're two starting tackles over the next year. You know, Morgan Moses is a pending free agent. Yeah. Ronnie Stanley hasn't lived up to that big contract. So I think it would make sense for them to find a guy who could be a guard in year one and potentially move out to tackle in year two. You know, someone like Tyler Guyton. You know, I don't think Troy Fautanu from Washington would be available for them at pick 30, but if he did, that's the kind of guy that I think you run the pick in. And then wide receiver, you know, I think they need to look to replenishing the depth there. Zay Flowers is the only guy who they have under contract beyond this year, because I would imagine they probably don't exercise that fifth-year option on Rashad Bateman. So, you know, whether it's a Ladd McConkey, an Adonai Mitchell, a Keon Coleman, there should be, you know, at least one or two really good receiver prospects at that number 30 spot. And even if they trade out of the first round, they should still probably find some guys they really like, you know, potentially as an X receiver in the early second round. So I think they're well set up to make a quality addition, ideally, to that offense. But honestly, you know, nothing would surprise me. I didn't expect them to pick Kyle Hamilton when they did, and that's looked like one of the best picks of the draft in recent memory.
Well, Jonas, you talk about the talent up and down this roster. We know Derrick Henry is the latest addition. Patrick Queen is gone. What is the overall vibe or attitude that you've kind of garnered from Ravens fans about what things have been so far this week?
You know, I think the biggest, I guess, irony of the Derrick Henry signing is it has inevitably brought back this, you know, kind of line of acidic thinking that, well, now finally we'll have a running back who you can't ignore in the playoffs, because everyone is still shaken up. Everyone is still scarred by that Ravens loss to the Chiefs. And, you know, that was obviously Kansas City turned that run defense around just in time for the playoffs. But over the year, over the course of this past season, it was not a good run defense at Kansas City. And the Ravens, after some initial, you know, stumbles and only occasional breakthroughs, basically gave up on the ground game. I think they had, you know, 11 carries total, six for running backs. You know, Gus Edwards basically ignored in that second half. So with this arrival of Derrick Henry and, you know, rounding out what should be a very fun to watch offense, I think there's probably some anticipation for we have this offense that, like I said earlier, can do whatever it wants against whoever it faces. And maybe now we have this, you know, alien who's, you know, more than enough to help Lamar finally take down Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. Obviously the Chiefs are reloading themselves and, you know, bringing back Chris Jones and probably get a nice haul for Legarius Sneed, but the Ravens still have to slay that beast in the AFC West, and they're going to need as much help as they can, because it has just been such an impossibility for not just the Ravens, but pretty much every other team in the AFC.
Well, that was going to be my next and last question for you, Jonas. When you take a look at just the AFC North, forget about the Kansas City Chiefs, what are you expecting? We know that there's still plenty of movement to take place, plus the draft, but things have gotten even more competitive. You got Russell Wilson in the mix. You expect, you know, Deshaun Watson to be healthy. You expect the Bengals to be healthy. What do you think, or how do the Ravens fit in this mix? Are they still a number one?
Yeah, to me they are, just because of the uncertainty in Cincinnati with you know, their defensive line, with their wide receiver group, and T. Higgins. And you know, Cleveland, we don't know exactly who's going to be quarterback for the Browns, and I think that's a pretty important consideration. So it's funny to me that with as much attention as will be paid to the quarterback position, you know, in that division this offseason and the regular season, with Russell Wilson coming in and Joe Burrow getting back healthy and whatever the hell is happening with Deshaun Watson happening, I think this division will probably defined by the defenses, because the Ravens and the Browns were two of the NFL's best defenses in recent memory last year. And it's within the realm of possibility that, like, Pittsburgh could be better than both of them next year, because you bring in Patrick Queen, you get back Micah Fitzpatrick, you have, you know, some of those young pieces in the secondary mature. Mike Tomlin always has guys, you know, playing above their level, and maybe now he has a good group of game breakers that could really elevate Pittsburgh back to the upper tier defensively. So it's going to be really, really tough to score in that division. It's going to be a lot of low scoring games, a lot of headaches for quarterbacks like Lamar, Burrow, Russ, if he's the eventual starter there. But, you know, that's AFC North football, baby.
Well, Jonas, at your advice, am I in the clear to get a Jameis Winston Browns jersey? Is it going to get some action?
I don't know, man. It was a little disappointing to see that the Ravens might not get their chance to go against Joe Flacco. I know that was that Browns Texans game. A lot of Ravens fans were biting their nails the possibility of Joe Flacco of all possibilities being the one to end their season. In the divisional round, obviously that didn't happen. The Texans won, and the Ravens beat the brakes off the Texans. But it would have been very, very cool to see Joe, you know, come back to Cleveland and potentially come back to Baltimore as a starter. But I have no clue what's going to happen with that Cleveland quarterback room. It's definitely an interesting one. That's the word that I'll use.
Yeah, interesting to say the least. Well, Jonas, I appreciate you for taking the time and sharing your perspective on everything Baltimore Ravens. Where can people keep up with you and your work?
Thanks, JR. Just follow me on Twitter at Jonas_Schaefer, SHAFFER, and thebaltimorebanner.com.
Well, thank you so much, Jonas. We'll be catching up with you down the line, okay?
Sounds good, bud. Take care.
Thank you so much. That Jonas Schaefer of the Baltimore Banner. I love it. Everybody got jokes for the Browns. How could you not? I said it was going to be comedy. You throw Jameis Winston into the mix with Deshaun Watson. It's like the jokes write themselves. AFC North is going to be tough, though. I'm still going to be wary of the Ravens and the Bills until they actually win something. Sorry. Unless the Kansas City Chiefs fall off the map, until there's a massive injury, until we're in an AFC championship game where Kelce is like abducted by aliens. I am going to pick the Chiefs until somebody beats them. And as of right now, that has not been the Buffalo Bills. That has not been the Baltimore Ravens. Let me know when you do it in the postseason, because year after year after year, 10, 11, 12 wins, that just doesn't do it. It doesn't cut it. I'm excited to see Derrick Henry in a Ravens uniform. I'm excited to see him bowling over people. I'm excited to see the long touchdown runs. But I want to see him when they matter the most in the postseason. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Derrick Henry was going to end up somewhere where he could win a championship. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about one guy that apparently nobody wants him. I'll explain and tell you who it is.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, if Dan Quinn should only be so lucky. Dan Quinn wants to carry Joe Gibbs' bags. And good luck in the draft, okay? It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you to Jonas Schaefer. Came through on the other side of the break, and we talked about the Baltimore Ravens, because Jonas was here on behalf of the Baltimore Banner. And there's so much movement. I would say Derrick Henry is between he and Saquon, those are the biggest running back names who've moved. And, well, quite frankly, we can talk about the running backs who have moved around. Been a crap ton of them, okay? Austin Eckler, speaking of Washington, and Saquon. Joe Mixon being traded now to Texas. Aaron Jones is now a member of the Vikings. And Josh Jacobs is now a member of the Packers. Running backs are moving all over the place. And we all know about the quarterbacks, sure. We just talked about Russell Wilson and then also Kirk Cousins to open up this hour. Hickey, if you are Justin Fields, what is going through your head right now?
I'm probably getting ready to learn French, JR.
Oh, no.
Head up to the Canadian Football League.
Oh, man. That's foul. I thought you were just jettisoning him out of the you are jettisoning him out the country. I thought you were just sending him overseas, but at least you want to keep him close to the CFL, right?
Yeah. You know, what is it, Toronto, right? I mean, that's right across the border. That's pretty close.
Yeah, well, you can send him to Montreal, Toronto, yeah, any other cities. I don't want to say I feel bad for the dude, but, like, he's not wanted right now. Nobody wants Justin Fields. You think about all the spots that have been taken up by now. Like, even the lesser quarterback slots, where could he possibly go to start? There's no place. Am I missing something? There ain't no place for him to start.
I mean, is he better than Sam Darnold? Like, can we talk about Minnesota?
Why? I feel at that point Minnesota would... Well, you did mention Justin Jefferson, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Well, we talked about that earlier. A matter of fact, let's hear that again. This is from The Herd. Didn't he call... Wait, he called Fields elite. Didn't he say that?
You know, we have to build on, you know, for after Kirk or whatever the case may be. But having Justin Fields brings a little bit more pressure to other teams by having, you know, a dominant quarterback like he is.
Okay, a dynamic, I guess, with his feet. I get it, Hickey. He's talking about his feet, not his arm. Just his feet, which is true. He's dynamic. He can say that right now. But what's he going to say when Justin Fields misses him on a throw or Justin Fields decides to take off instead of throwing him the ball? How dynamic is he going to be then? Or is he just going to call a guy stupid?
That or it could be hearing a different tune. That's for sure.
Yeah. Look, Justin Jefferson is going to stick around, I believe, because he's going to get $30 million a year. And so I don't think we got to sweat too much about whether or not he's going to go elsewhere, whether he's going to demand a trade. It's tough. Like, teams don't want to pay anybody. To think that you're going to acquire Justin Jefferson in a trade, give something up, and now you got to pay him $30 million plus dollars a year, what's he going to make more than Tyreek? $32, $33 million? I don't see that. So he's just going to have to, quote unquote, suffer with Sam Darnold as his quarterback, and Justin Fields, it's almost like a pipe dream. I know Hickey says he needs to learn French. I hope he has Mac Jones' number, because we know Mac Jones, this guy went from a starter, and now he's going to be backing up Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. And for Justin Fields, you think about the teams that either A, just got their hands on a new quarterback, like the Steelers or the Falcons, and then you look at some of the other teams that are likely to address the quarterback position in the draft, a la the Commanders, the Patriots, even a lesser team. The Raiders got Gardner Minshew. Why am I giving Gardner Minshew money? And I could add Justin Fields. Nobody thinks he is worth it. This man is going to get exchanged for a bag of potato chips. He's going to get traded for one of those deep dish spaghetti pies or pizza. This sucks for Justin Fields, because the reality, I think, is probably setting in, and if it hasn't already, man, you ain't going to have no starting job unless somebody gets hurt. And if somebody wanted you, please believe, you would have been gotten by now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Real sad out here. Matter of fact, Jalen Johnson, I guess the Bears wanted him. They extended his contract 4 years, $76 million. Jalen Johnson had his press conference, and he talked about how the Bears, they are such a mature group, such a mature team, that if he does have to return to the squad, everybody will just get along.
I feel like it wouldn't be mature of us as a locker room not to rally together in spite of having Justin leave. I know what it would do to keep him here. I know how we would feel with him here. But, I mean, I feel like just at the end of the day, we'll all have our opinions, our emotions. But as far as the locker room staying together, I think we have the right guys in the locker room to keep everything together, to keep us together. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all here to win ball games. So I don't think it's about necessarily our feelings or, oh, well, you did this. I mean, we all here to win games. So whoever that Poles brings in, whoever the staff brings in to help us win games, that's what we're going to rock with.
It ain't going to be Fields. And Fields is unlikely to be on that team. I mean, what a nasty atmosphere that would be. Think about this. This is the same Justin Fields who a couple of weeks ago decided to unfollow the Chicago Bears and the NFL on social media because he did not want to hear anything about free agency. He was just going on vacation. He didn't want to hear a damn thing about Caleb Williams. And so now we're supposed to think or believe that he's going to be okay in the same room? Far be it. I don't think so. Not at all. 855-212-4CBS. Nick is here from Florida. What's on your mind, Nick?
Hey, what's up, man? I love your show, man. I listen to you all the time. I drive around. I do deliveries at night and stuff. But, man, I really love your show.
Thanks. Go ahead, quickly.
Justin Fields got ripped off, man. Like, seriously, he's taking all the blame for a terrible coaching staff, general managers, all the people that put the offensive line in front of him. He's taking the blame for all of it. Justin Fields could be a great quarterback. He's getting the blame for everything, and he shouldn't be. That's my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you, Nick, for the kind words, and thank you for calling from Florida. I'm not so sure. Like, I think you got to evaluate people in a vacuum. Has he had the best of weapons? No. They added DJ Moore a little late in the game. Has he had the best of lines? No. Is this his second general manager? Yes. The GM now, Ryan Poles, did not select him in the draft or, you know, trade up to get him with that deal with the Giants. That was Ryan Pace. And so did he get a raw deal? I don't think so. Like, everybody's going to end up in an ideal situation. The reason why you get selected high as a quarterback is because the team sucked. They wouldn't bring on a quarterback if they didn't stink. I mean, that's why we had to deal with these rumors from Caleb Williams, and he had to answer questions about, oh, yeah, by the way, if the Bears select me, I'm going to show up to work. What else is he supposed to say? You don't get number one or two or three unless you stink. But here's the deal. Has Justin Fields, as an individual, shown enough that he's the guy? I think the answer is no. I mean, I can give anybody tools, and I can say, hey, this is how you use the tools. That doesn't mean that you're going to get the best use out of them. Everybody's different. Keep that in mind. Nice analogy. I may use it again on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. On the other side, damn it, we're going to talk more running backs, more NFL. And then politics? What's Nick Saban doing in D.C.?
What's the first thing you do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. This is my show. My friends come on and you know them. We talk about the sports you care about, basketball now, golf, and the metronome of your life, baseball. Whether it's opening day, the big tournament, or one of the majors, we have the best to preview it and break down just what happened. And let's not forget the important stuff, the amount of daylight where I live, the importance of Speedies, and the rankings of beach-style pizza. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.